Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring special guest, Keith Boyd.
I told the pastor a few months ago, I said, it's awesome that you have a means by which to cover for me when I'm not up here, when I'm away with the family or whatever. I guess he plays CDs or something. And I told him, I said, if you ever need to be gone, Pastor, you know, I can probably do a message or two. And he said, yeah, no problem. So when he asked me, I said, yeah. And I'm starting to, you know, I was starting to like get together what I was going to talk about. And boom, right there, Holy Spirit put it in me. Okay, no question there. You see, I only have just one paper. Because I don't, when you're talking and when you're preaching and you're speaking from your heart, you really don't need to write a whole lot of it down because it's burning in your heart. You know what I mean? And so, did everybody get one of these handouts from back there? Knowing who I am in Christ. If you didn't get one, raise your hand because you got to take one of these with you because this is your next Bible study. I just gave you your next assignment for Bible study in your quiet time at home, which I hope you all have sometime during the day or every other day or whatever your schedule is in your prayer closet. This right here, take your time in going through this in your Bible study because this is life changing. I kid you not. And I thank God for those scriptures right there. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, all good things come down from you. Father, we are wonderfully created. Your handiwork is in every last one of us. We are what you made us. Father, we thank you that the word is there to teach us who we are. We can find out who we are, what you intend for us, why you created us. Father, I pray this message will burn in the hearts of everyone here this morning. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Revelation knowledge. So that we will know that we know that we know that we are somebody. That we are loved by the Creator, and that we are overcomers because of it. Father, we ask that your mighty anointing will change us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18, is the basis of this message this morning. Let's read right through it. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is deep. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. You know, I was one of the more blessed children growing up in a Christian home from the time I was a little guy. My parents faithfully took me to that Baptist church just down the road from us. We had 66, 68 acres up in Cadillac. I was born and raised in Cadillac. And my dad built that house. He was a contractor. He built that house when I was around 10 years old. Up in all the years before that, I was don't really remember much as a kid, just a little guy. I didn't care. But I really began to know. I began to think. I began to ask. When I was like 10 years old, really, and really wanted answers. And it was out on the old Boone Road between Boone and Cadillac and way out in the country. And the first little bit of it, maybe the first 20 acres, was kind of open, tall grass, a tree here or there. But you would go toward the back of it, and there was a distinct line of where the woods began. And it was hardwoods, mostly. Oaks, maples, but almost all of it was poplar or aspen. I don't know which, probably the same tree, I don't know. But they grow tall, and they got a shinier bark, almost like a birch. And the leaves are small, and they're so beautiful in the fall. They turn yellow and red. I got my first motorcycle when I lived there. And I was like 11 years old, 11 or 12 years old. And it was a used motorcycle. It had two shock absorbers in the back instead of the one they got today. So that's how old it is. And I'm dating myself, ain't I, Al? Anyway, it didn't ride real good, but it was a dirt bike, and boys, little boys love dirt bikes. That dirt bike was my instrument of getting away from it all. Get on that dirt bike and go hide. Just drive it. You see, the south boundary property line of our property was the Ann Arbor Railroad, the railroad tracks. And you couldn't just cross the railroad tracks from our property because it had this big, deep ditch. And then the railroad tracks came up, another big, deep ditch. So the east boundary was a little two-track, County Road 29 or something like that. And but I had trails all over the place back there. I was a loner. All I needed was that motorcycle. You can kick them motorcycles and they don't kick back. But if you abuse them, they'll hurt you. And I was all boy, and I was all full throttle, right? You know what I mean, Al. Full throttle. Go as fast as you can, even though you don't need to. And I can't stand in one place, sorry. Your head's going like this. I can't stand in one place. So I had trails all over back there, and there was this one spot where I came down the hill, went into the woods right there, and then trails out, but right there where I went into the woods, maybe 15, 20 feet into the edge of the woods, there was this rock, great big rock. I don't know what kind of rock it was, but it was shaped, kind of came along like this, and kind of up like this, and down around. It was shaped just like a old recliner. Hard as a rock, because it was a rock, but And I would see that when I went down my trail, because my trail went like 3 feet in front of it and off down through the woods. And it was right here. And on the other side of the trail, it kind of went up a little bit like this, not real steep. For some reason, there was like no trees right there in that little glade. They kind of went around this way. And it wasn't real big, maybe from me to that speaker over there, just a little glade kind of went up. And then I always had these big, tall ferns in it that grew up. And I went to a Baptist church, Boone Baptist Church, right around the corner, about 3-4 miles. And I was like 12 years old. And I'd listened to those fire and brimstone pastors. Sonny Holland, an evangelist from Texas. The dude was 7 feet tall, I swear. 350 pounds and a big old buckle that blinded you when the light hit it. He didn't wear his hat, but he had these alligator boots or something on. He'd show up every now and then. Traveling evangelist. And I remember one time he was there. I got my box of Kleenexes. You all know me, right? I'm going to get emotional because I do that. You know, I got to tell you real quick. That used to bother me. Why in the world do you cry so easy, Keith? One day it bothered me. And I'm like, God, why did you make me like this? And in an audible voice, he said, are you questioning my handiwork? Are you questioning the way I made you? Say no more. You made your point, Father. Thank you. I mean, I could be sitting up there on the beach in Holton Lake where our cabin is, and all of us adults, Amber knows, all of us adults, we line up in our chairs, some of us in the shade, some of us in the sun, all sitting there watching a dozen and a half kids playing in the water. And I'll have thoughts like, and I'm weird, I admit it, I'll have thoughts like, isn't this cool? Look at these little kids. One of them will get hurt. And they'll start running to the shore, and the adults will come down and grab them. And I'll have thoughts like, that's exactly the image of God and his children right there. They get hurt, and they come running to him, and he runs right straight back to them. This rock in the edge of the woods contributed a lot to the way I think today. And I'll tell you why. I was going to that Baptist church, and that Sonny Holland guy had such an anointing upon him. And in the Baptist church, I didn't even know what the anointing was. I wasn't taught that. But the hair would stand right up on my arm and bring tears to my eyes. And I'm listening to him preach the word of God and the loving message of Jesus Christ. And I'm hearing him tell me I am somebody. I'm hearing him tell me I matter. And I'm like, what? The God that created all of this, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything, cares about little old me? I couldn't understand that when I was 10 years old, 12 years old. I couldn't put that together in my head. Two questions for you this morning. I want you to ask them right out loud, like right after I say them. Who am I? Say it. Who am I? Who am I? Does God know me? Does God know me? Say it. Those were the two questions I was asking him. One day, school was out. It was summer vacation. And I just got done with this Sonny Holland guy challenging me. Thank God for Sonny Holland. Thank God for evangelists like that man. I mean, I'd go to Sunday school, and go to Brotherhood, and go to all the meetings, and we were active, and I wasn't getting it. And then this guy, anointed of God, comes along and shares the same message I had been hearing since I was little, but with a heavy anointing upon him. What do? In front of a packed church, I got up and went to the front and accepted Jesus Christ. Why did I do that? I didn't even think about it. I got up and went up there. And afterward, I left, and like all 12-year-old, 13-year-old boys do, we think about it, and we're like, what? Hope my friends didn't see that. Crying up there like a baby. See, this was the beginning of my new creation. The very beginning of it. Like I was just birthed. When I was 13 years old, it was like I was just birthed. I knew nothing up until that moment. I'd heard the message, but didn't realize what it meant. So right after that Sunny Holland experience, right after that born-again experience, I'm driving back there on my motorcycle, and I'm coming into the woods on that trail, and there's that rock. I stopped. Didn't have a kickstand, so I put the motorcycle up against the tree and leaned it over against the tree. And I went down. I was 3 feet away. I sat down on that rock, leaned back on it. Man, it was like the perfect recliner. Kicking my feet, and I'm the warmth of that rock, and I start trying to figure this all out. I'm using this testimony to bring this to a point, people. All of us have had things happen in our lives that you may not have even thought about, but those experiences in real life are what bring us our testimony, right? They are the things that we can share with others to try and show others where we came from and who we are. Stepping stones, if you may. I don't care what you call them. But I'm sitting on that rock. And it's like, Lord, I need a special place where I can scream and holler and yell. Because, boy, at 13 years old, there's peer pressures that will consume you. The world is reaching out, trying to yank you away from anything that's God. That's still true this very moment, right now. I go to work. I get in my car. And I'm coming home and I'm like, oh, Lord, how much of this can I take? And sometimes he gets right a hold of me. And sometimes I fall. You've heard me say it. Sometimes I fall right down on my face. Sometimes I don't want to get back up. I just want to lay there in the mud. Say, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. But we get back up and we shake ourselves off. There I sat on that rock. And I thought, God, I need a special place. And this is going to be my special place. Nobody here but me. And so right at the very top of that little glade, I thought, I need to put a cross right there. So I got on my motorcycle and I went back home and I got the post hole diggers and I got a saw and a hatchet, some rope, threw them in a backpack and went back out there. Parked my motorcycle. And there's poplar trees everywhere, but I didn't want to cut one from right there, so I went over there a couple hundred yards, found a perfect poplar, and they're tall and straight, aren't they, Al? They go up and up, but that big around, all the way up. And I cut that thing down. And I cut it so that I could make this little cross, and right there where it laid, I made this cross. I don't know how long it took me, don't matter. And I tied it all up, carried the tools back to my motorcycle, went back to the cross. And I picked that thing up, and I was fairly strong for a 13-year-old. And I threw it up over my shoulder, and I'm dragging it over to where I want to put that. I got it over there, kind of put the bottom around, and I grabbed the post hole diggers, and I dug this big, deep hole, just as deep as I could. And I went to put that cross in that, to pick that cross up so I could drop it down in that hole, and I couldn't hardly do it. It was so heavy. And I said, Father, I need your help here. And I kid you not, an energy came upon me. And I put that thing up and boom, down in the hole it went. And and I filled it all in. You couldn't see it hardly because of the trees behind it. I sat there on that rock, and I had to look for it, but there it was, blended in perfect. And that rock, staring at that cross, became my point of contact when I had questions. Do you guys have a point of contact where you can go when you have questions, when you have concerns, when you have cares that are weighing you down? If you don't have a place where you can go, where you can get alone with God, you need to have one. I'm not kidding you. You need to have one. You need to develop one. That rock, for several years, heard my entire life, all my cares, concerns. I cried so much on that rock. I screamed and hollered so much on that rock. You know, I was born again during those years, okay? I loved Jesus. I believed my sins were forgiven. And I would go to heaven when I died. That was established in my mind already. But I had no victory, no peace, no joy in my life. I felt condemned all the time, not because of my parents or my brothers or sisters, but because of my friends always hammering on me. The only time I didn't hate myself was when I was blasting down those trails on that motorcycle. That's why I needed that rock. That rock. The rock of my salvation, I called it. I met Jesus on a personal level when I sat there on that rock. I cried out, didn't even know what prayer was. I learned what prayer was when I sat there on that rock. You know, God already knew about me. He knew who I was. He knew who I would become, what I would do, who I would marry, who I would marry. The kind of husband I would be, the kind of father I'd be, and so on. How many sons come to their father, say, "Dad, I want you to be my best man in my wedding." That's the kind of relationship I got with my son. "I want you to be my best man in my wedding." "What? You know I can't do that because I'd be a blubbering idiot standing up there." He said, "I know, but I wanted to ask you anyway." I said, "Thanks, but I'll be there, but I can't be your best man. You need somebody who can hold it together. I can't hold it together up there." You know? And, you know, obviously there's no question in anybody's mind. He picked out the best woman in the world for me to marry. Listen to me. This is the point I'm making. I believe that every one of us is created with a hunger to know God and to know that He knows us. I believe that we cannot live fully without coming to terms with the God of all creation. We can't. If we don't have revelation of who we are in Him, we will never know what He can do through us or for us. There is no plan of the enemy more dangerous to us than the plan to cut our hearts off from intimacy with God. If he can get in there between you and the Father and cause you not to become intimate with the Creator of everything, then he's already won the victory. You have to know, you have to understand who you are. I believe that when we deny ourselves the knowledge of what God knows about us, we remove a very crucial part of the foundation of our faith. You know, I think back all the time about some of the conversations I had with the Father when I sat on that rock. I had no idea outside of that present time what I would become or if I'd even live long enough to become it. It was all those weeks and days and months sitting there talking to God out loud. I told you I was weird. I talked to God out loud to him when I was 13 years old. Thank God I did that. I hope every last one of you did that or are doing that now. You know, this God, this Alpha who was, not the Omega, but the Alpha who was, in an undateless past, timeless past, that created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth became void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And then he created all, everything, and the last thing he did was create man in his own image. Read it. It's all in Genesis, one of my favorite books. In his own image, in his own likeness, and told him to be fruitful and replenish the earth. I'm like, I'm sitting there on that rock, and I'm like, what does that mean? What does that even mean? Does he even know who I am? Psalms 139, 1 through 18 says he does. I wasn't going to doubt the word. Without the word, how would we know anything about him? He didn't just create us. There you are. Now do your best to find me. No, he didn't do that. He gave us an owner's manual. I like to call it the owner's manual. When something's broke on my vehicle, I get the owner's manual out to find out how to fix it. Amen? We get out the owner's manual, the Holy Bible. To find out how to fix it. He gave me that when I sat on that rock. Boy, my teenage years were turbulent. Boy. All those drugs from the 70s. You know what I mean, Al. All those drugs from the 70s. I call out Al because he's one of my best buds. I'm sure he ain't the only one. But man, I'm talking drugs, sex, rock and roll, and everything that the enemy would put in front of you to drag you away from anything God. He wants the victory. The enemy wants the victory. I'm telling you, it was... my heart goes out to teenagers these days. You know, I got through it by the grace of God. We all got through it by the grace of God, every last one of us. But, you know, the word says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I didn't know what that meant. I had not taken a hold of the new creation reality. What happened when Sonny Holland gave the invitation and I went forward? I didn't know what happened. I was living out of my own mind, my own will, my own emotions, which are all damaged, by the way, all of us. Jesus had paid the price for my total deliverance, but I had no idea how to receive his precious gift. And one day I was reading the Bible, and I noticed a statement, 2 Corinthians 5:7. If we walk by faith, not by sight, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. How am I supposed to do that, God? How am I supposed to do that? So I had to ask myself, what do you believe, Keith, about your relationship with God? What do you really believe about your relationship with God? You got to ask yourself that question right now. What do I believe about my relationship with God? Does he really care about little old me in Ovid, Michigan? Does he care about my pain, my struggles, the hurdles I have to leap every day? Does he care about any of that? Do you believe he loves you? You know, as I began to search my heart and to study his word on that subject, I concluded he does love me. But with conditions. Nope. There ain't no conditions. The Bible teaches us that God loves us perfectly or unconditionally. His perfect love is not based upon our perfection or anything except on himself. He always loves us, even when we don't receive his love because of our guilt or our wrong behavior. You know, there's no doubt, I had to come to grips with this years ago when I was in ministry here before, and I became the music leader here before. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to sing in front of people. I had to come to grips one day when God said, I'm putting this calling upon you. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. It's getting harder and harder as I get older. Fingers don't want to work no more. My voice is shaky. But I'm still doing it. And I'll do it as long as there's breath in my lungs. Amen? Because, and I've argued with God so much about this calling. Give it to somebody else, Father. That's not how it works. He puts a calling on you. It's yours to do. It's not like you don't do it, he'll find somebody else. Maybe there's something to that, but if you don't do it, you might be kind of guilty. And so that's established fact. It's an established fact that this is what I'm doing. You know? And, you know, we think we don't receive his love because of our guilt or our wrong behavior. Stop that. This thing right here, your mind, is the battleground where the enemy beats you and defeats you, and then you just say, I ain't doing it. I'm defeated. I can't do it. I'm not worthy. Stop that. You hear me? Stop doing that. You need to take this sheet with you, and you need to study it, and you need to understand it, and you need to see this is really true. This came out of the owner's manual. Amen? I didn't make this up. Listen, your conscience. I think you're all familiar with your conscience. That is the voice of your spirit within you. It lets you know that you have messed up and you need forgiveness. But your father doesn't love you any less. He drove that point home to me. Because that seems like I'm always messing up. And I lay there in the mud and I'm like, why? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Now I got to go apologize. Now I got to go ask that person to forgive me again. Yup. The father doesn't love you any less. Jesus, it says, is familiar with our sufferings. He was faced with all of the same stuff. Nothing is unknown to him or unfamiliar to him. And he didn't sin. That's why we can accept him by grace as our sacrificial lamb on the last offering for mankind, which was Calvary. He brought us back to that place where we should have been. We need to be conscious and aware of God's love and put faith in it. So there I was. I had to learn. Now I'm going to bring it home. Because up until the spring of 1981, I had a pretty good knowledge of who I was, because I'd studied the scriptures. But it's like, in the natural realm, we could go, most of us could go, to our father and say, Dad, I got a problem. I could anyway. And we could talk it through with him. And he'd slap us on the back and give us a hug and say, I'm proud of you, son. And I heard that a lot, thank God. Some of us probably never heard that. Thank God I heard that. Or there's somebody in this natural realm where we can actually go and talk to and pour our heart out to and actually hear somebody say something back. See, on that rock I sat on, I was doing all the talking. I didn't really know how to listen yet, but I learned. I learned how to listen. But nobody ever talked back. It was just me doing all the talking, me doing all the searching, me doing all the grumbling and complaining. But I always left there feeling better. He wants us to talk to him. Amen? In the spring of 81, I started my professional career. I lived in Owosso. Corlett Creek Apartments. I was engaged to be married to the most wonderful woman in the world. And on the weekends, I would go up and we'd plan our wedding and, well, let's do this and let's do that. And then I'd stay as late as I could on Sunday because I didn't want to leave her. I had to come back to an empty apartment and start work again on Monday morning. Spring of 81. I'm driving down the road, old 131, north of Fife Lake. Not a car on the road except me. Big old stand of pines over here on the right-hand side. Sorry. Big old stand of pines, as far as the eyes could see. The sun's getting low in the horizon already, so there's shadows going across the road, and I'm heading south. So they're over here on this side. The radio was on. Probably listening to country music, because that's what I listened to back then. And I looked up there in the road in front of me. And right on the shoulder of the road, the heel of their right foot on the white line that separates the pavement from the gravel. There's a guy laying there, and I'm looking at the soles of his feet, and I'm just driving along without a care in the world. And I hit the brakes and slowed down and looked at him like this as I went past. Almost stopped, and I'm going to pull off on the shoulder of the road to go back. An audible voice, like I'm talking to you right now, says, keep going. An audible voice says, keep going. I didn't even think about it. I pulled back on the road and hit the gas. I was probably a couple tenths of a mile down the road before I said, what was that? What was that? And I had goosebumps all over me like, what just happened to me? And I thought about stopping in Fife Lake at that gas station and telling somebody about it, but I didn't. I just kept going because I was so consumed by what just happened to me. And I got on the freeway and I came home and went to bed. Thinking about that. Thinking, that's like the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. And I got up Monday morning to go to work. Getting my shower. I'm out there, got the TV turned on, watching Channel 12 News out of Flint, putting my clothes on. There's a warning from the state police. A band of gypsies or hippies or whatever going through northern Michigan. And one of their tricks is to get one of their friends to lay on the side of the road to get unsuspecting motorists to stop and pull over. And their buddies jump out of the weeds and they steal their wallet and their car and leave them for dead. I was late for work that day, as you can understand. And I'm like, God, why? Why do you care for me that much? I'm a nobody. I really wasn't even searching out God at that time. I was living for the moment. Psalm 139 says, I know you. I know what my plans I have for you. I hadn't reached those yet. He still had that for my future. I had to be around to fulfill those plans. Do you follow what I'm saying? So here I am, thinking, realizing, I mean, it's finally starting to get concrete in me that he's got a reason that I'm here. He's got a purpose for me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That verse came alive at that moment. That changed my life. I'm praying that you have moments like that if you haven't already, because it will change your life. It'll become so rock solid in you. We had a group from the Philippines here one time. I'll never forget it. And I could go on and on and on and on with my experiences with God. That group of from the Philippines, they were singers, they were ministers. They were here from the Philippines. And this one little girl gave her testimony, and she says, I was speaking, and this villager came in with a machete and said, if you don't stop preaching the name of Jesus, I'm going to cut your head off. She said, not unless God's done with me. She was, what, 13, 14? But she's giving this testimony. And he says, I'm going to cut your head off. She says, you won't succeed if God's not done with me. And I guess that guy went right up to her and swung that machete and hit her neck. It was like hitting a concrete wall. That machete bounced right off. And she lived to give that testimony. You see, we are somebody. Who am I? You are a child of the Most High God, and He has a purpose for you. You know, and I could go, I'm running out of time, but I could go on and on and on about story after story after story. I got some really cool ones. They're all testimonies, because God is constantly reminding me that I am somebody. He wants me to tell you today, you are somebody. Don't let the enemy put questions in your mind that are going to cause you to ask, what about this and what about that, to try and deter you from who you are in Him. Don't entertain them. The Bible says cast down every imagination that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Amen? You need to do that. Now, I don't know what's going on in your lives. But I know when I was preparing this message, Karen and Amanda came up in my spirit. And I just challenge you two, especially. Whatever it is you're carrying, or perhaps you've already gotten rid of it and the enemy's tempting you with it, telling you you're nothing, telling you you're worthless. Don't entertain it, because it ain't true. You guys need to know that you are somebody and that you are important to Him and He has a call on you. Okay? And don't mean to embarrass you by calling you out, but I need to tell you the Holy Spirit laid you two on my heart to tell you that you need to get this. You need to understand this. You need to study these scriptures. Saturate your mind with God's Word, because nothing else is going to do it for you. It's filled with the reminders of His unconditional love for you, and He says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, according to Psalm 139. It says nothing can separate you from His love. That's in Romans 8:35. Don't let the enemy steal your identity. You are God's masterpiece, and you need to believe it. Amen? You need to know it. If you don't know, if you leave here today not caring to pursue it, well, fine. It's your free will. But if you want to know who you are, start with these scriptures right here. And take it from there. This could be quite an extensive Bible study for you. Stay in it until you know who you are. Yes, the God that created everything forever and ever, past, present, and future, cares about you. He cares about you. I think you can see how it will revolutionize your walk with Him if you understand it. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, I have delivered this message that you've put upon my heart. I've spoken it forth like you've asked me to. Thank you for giving it to me. Thank you for allowing me to share it with these people. Father, my prayer for these people is that not one of them leaves here today without knowing that they know that they know that they know that they are important to you. In their deepest, darkest hours, that your spirit will saturate their being so that they know that it's going to be okay, that your plans for them far surpasses whatever the enemy puts in their soul. Father, thank you for experiences in our lives, each one of us, that lead to testimonies later on, that will help someone else out who is struggling, to help them find a solid ground, firm footing, so that they can continue to go on and so forth. Thank you, Father, for the Great Commission, where we can go out and we can teach others about what you've done, not only in our lives, but what you can do in their lives. Father, our unsaved loved ones are our responsibility. Holy Spirit, give us the words that we need to say, that they need to hear, even if we don't know what those words are. Father, I pray that every last one of these people here will have a Spring of 81 experience in their lives, where they are so overwhelmed by your presence that there will be no more questions in their mind who they are. And does God know me? Father, by your Spirit, bring revelation to them that they know that you know them. We thank you, Father, for all of the work Jesus did through redemption, through sacrifice. Thank you for changing us, Father. Thank you for changing us. Go with us this week, Father, as we study these scriptures. In this time of new beginnings for this church, may one of the first things be finding out who we are. Holy Spirit, open up the word like never before. A full revelation knowledge, past the five senses, but a revelation knowledge, a knowledge that comes only by you as we seek you. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.